Now, friends, today we return back to the third chapter of 1 Timothy, and here we are seeing something of what would be called church government, the officers in the church. Last time we saw the requirements for elders or bishops in the church, and now we come to the requirements of deacons in the church. And again, the word that is used for deacon is a word, actually, it's translated minister. Paul and Apollos are called deacons. We find that the Lord Jesus is called a minister in Galatians 2:17. Government officials are called ministers, and that's in Romans 13:4, and then ministers of Satan are called ministers, 2 Corinthians 11:15. You see, it's a general term for a servant and a worker. And the very interesting thing in what we think is the place where the office of deacon began in the 6th chapter of Acts, the word deacon is not even used there, or the word for it. But I'm confident, and I think we have scriptural ground for it, that these were deacons that were appointed in the church. And a deacon, although he had to do with the material things of the church, that did not mean that he should not be a spiritual man. Because the great problem today is that we often put a man in an office in the church who has certain physical qualifications, but he has no spiritual qualifications. That is, if he has physical qualifications, he's been a successful businessman. He knows how to conduct business. And we think because he is able to do that, that he'd make a good deacon. And unfortunately, there are men that are appointed to office on that basis. And the one thing that we've tried to emphasize in 1 Timothy, and we would mention it again, is the fact that though the church is a local organization and it has to manifest itself in a community, it gets right down where the rubber meets the road. And they have to have a building. They have to have heat and lights and a lot of these material things that don't seem very romantic or don't seem very religious. But the important thing is that it is the spiritual qualifications, that that local church has a spiritual ministry, and these men that are in office must have that. And we think today that these material qualifications must come first. Someone has put it like this: when a church ceases to be in touch with another world, she is no longer in touch with this one. And I agree with that 100%. Until the spiritual is emphasized, the church cannot do that which is material or that which is practical down here. Therefore, the deacons here, there are certain spiritual qualifications. Now, I go over this again. In like manner, must the deacons be grave? Now I'm reading 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. They must first of all be grave. And that, we said last time, that means they're to keep their cool and not double-tongued. That means they're not to be two-faced. They must be men whose word amounts to something and not given to much wine. As we said before, the Bible teaches temperance, not total abstinence. Now, in that day, this would not have been a problem. Today it is a problem. And I think today the church should teach total abstinence in view of the fact the way that alcohol is used and abused today. And the only way it can be used would be, of course, in the place, as we said last time, of medicine. I think it should not, for the Christian, be a refreshment or a drink. And not greedy of filthy lucre. And that means having an insatiable love of money. And the suggestion here is that the man who handled the money of the church should be honest, men of integrity. And may I say that there's nothing that'll hurt a church more than for word to get out that the deacons are juggling the finances, that money given to one cause doesn't go for that cause, and that money is being used in a way that it was not intended to be used, and they do not handle it in an honest way. We have discovered, I have as a minister and in radio, that for the most part, and I can say that as far as I know, churches that 99 and 44 100% of them are run by men of high integrity. But you know that little 44 100%, they are the ones that are muddy in the water today and are causing a great deal of difficulty. I very candidly have to say today that there are a few churches and a few Christian organizations I cannot nor will I recommend at all, because I do know that the finances are not helped in an honest way. And the thing that the church, that local church that's right down, you see, where it has to get into shoe leather, if there's one thing it should present to the world, it is the fact that it is honest and that it is a place of high integrity in financial matters.